message is brought to you by the friends and partners of Elijah Amusan Ministry International. Be blessed as you listen.
I know the virtual differences between a word. For example, last stop and destination. They are one and the same. Okay, but semantics tries to drag out the virtual difference and then begin to analyze them. And we've seen over the weeks examples that we looked into as it's touched with God's word, semantics, you know, the dynamics of it. We look at the fruit of the Spirit and the gift of the Spirit. We saw how that it's just pure semantics. It's one and the same. The fruit of the Spirit and the gift of the Spirit are, you know, the things that we exude, the feature we exude, all by the, you know, influence of the character of the Spirit. All right. Then we also looked at, semantics where it has to do with salvation semantics. You know, how that it is more correct to say some things in a certain way as somebody who is learned, who is brought up, who is taught the word of God. For example, you don't say things like, I gave my life to Christ, even though it is correct, you know. But it is more correct to say, I received the life of Christ. In the book of Galatians 4 verse 9, I showed you how that Paul, in his writing to the church in Galatia, corrected himself in the same sentence. The idea was just to correct the semantics. You know, when he said, after that you have known God, or rather, that you are known of God. You see that? So he uses the word rather, known of God. So known of God, I am known of God is more correct than I have known God. Can I have a big amen to that? So we have also seen some charismatic denial last week, you know, where it has to do with generational curse, you know, curses of the law and all of that. And then we have dealt with all of that. Today we want to put a spotlight on context. You know, the title is... what again? Semantics, context, and charismatic deniers. So today, I want to talk about, we want to just shake some things, you know, in context. All right? Let me tell you one beautiful thing attending this church does to you. It also helps you to understand how to read the Bible. And it is deliberate in this church because we have a strong, prolific teaching ministry that will touch the whole world. Amen. So as much as we are prophetic and the miracles and the healings are here in an amazing way, all right, we do not sweep off the teaching ministry that God has given us. Amen. And that's why I incorporate it in all of our teaching. The idea is to ensure that you know how to read your Bible. This is very important. This is very important. I wish I had a lot of time to tell you, listen, not understanding how to read your Bible can help you or make you rather do what the Bible says not to do and you think you are doing the Bible. So that's why it's very important. Amen. So today we're looking at context, and I'm going to be putting the spotlight on prayer and deliverance. Prayer and deliverance. Now, I'll be talking about prayer in first service. Now, there are several kinds of prayer. We'll look into that hopefully next month, because next month is our fasting and prayer month. Amen. It's our annual prayer and fasting. You know, we've been doing it for this is the fourth year now. All right? Every year we do it since the beginning of this ministry. We call it September to remember. I think last year we did it in October, right? Okay. Praise God forevermore. All right, so I'm just going to be, you know, helping you show context. But before I even go into that, let me just show you a few examples. I have, when I was preparing for this tape, I'm like, God, I wish I had enough time. See, there's a lot of examples, but let me just pick one or two. Open to 1 Corinthians 3. Let me just brush over a few examples of context, popular ones. 1 Corinthians 3 in verse 21. This is one of the things you find in the charismatics. They often say it. In the book of 1 Corinthians 3, 21, the Bible says, therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. Now, there are folks who pick this scripture out of context and say, well, all things are mine. Hallelujah. All things are mine. Calm down. You have to understand in context what he's meaning by all things are yours. It is Bible illiteracy to assume all things are yours. My biro is not yours. Do you understand? Someone else's wife is not yours. So don't say all things are yours here. Yeah, all things are mine. You see, it's Bible illiteracy. You have to understand what he's talking here. And that's the power of context. So you see, the word all there, you see, I've taught you this before. All is not always all. There is always a context to it. Now, back off a little bit to verse 3 so that you know the things he's talking about. Verse 3, look at what he says in verse 3. He says, for ye are yet carnal, Ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envy and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? Now he's addressing the church in Corinth, verse 4. He now says, for while one said, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Verse 5. He now says, who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. Now drop down quickly to that verse 22. Leave 21, go to 22. Don't forget, 21 is the real verse. So we've read a few pretexts. Now let's read some post-text. Go to verse 22. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas, Cephas means Peter, or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours. 23. And ye are Christ, and Christ is God. Did you see the context? So when he says all things are yours in this context, he's talking about Paul, Peter, Apollos, amen forevermore. He's saying there was no need for division, that all things are yours. That's what he's trying to say there. Let's look at another example. Open to Philippians 4. Philippians 4. Philippians 4. Philippians 4 and verse 13. Another popular scripture. Philippians 4 and verse 13. Look at what it says. It says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. So you hear people say things like, I can do all things. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I can do all things. You know, I can do. So I can even have church in my house. I can do all things. Glory to God. Hallelujah. No, that's Bible illiteracy. I can't fly jets. All right? See, grace is grace. Amen? It's not effort. I can't play guitar. Do you understand? I can't be pregnant. Is that simple? Except those are delusional. They say they want to be doing transgender. That's foolishness. Do you understand what I'm saying? You can't do all things. So don't take that all. I can't steal. I can't lie. You can't do all things. So you have to understand the context there. And you see, there are a lot of people who have pushed themselves out of the will of God, all right, with the assumption that they can do all things. Amen. You can't do all things. You have to get the context right. Look at it. Let's back off to verse 10. Let me tell you something about context. You have to read the pretext, the post-text, then you bring it into context. To understand the Bible verse, you have to read the pretext, the post-text, and you bring it to context. Say after me, say pretext, say post-text, and context. Now look at verse 10. He says, but I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Let's go. Verse 11. Now that I speak in respect of wants, not that I speak in respect of wants, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Now, this is Paul writing to his partners in Philippi. They were sending money to him for his natural needs, for his material needs. Now, let's go to verse 12. He now says, so he has said in verse 11 that he's speaking not because he's in want. He now says, I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Did you see what he's talking about here? Now, jump verse 13, which is the text. Let's read another post text. Go to verse 14. Verse 14. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. So now let's go to verse 13 now. So you now read in the understanding of the pretext and the post-text. What is verse 13 now saying? I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Hallelujah. In other words, I can be abased, I can be on top. In time of plenty, in time of lack, nothing do me. Do you understand? So he's teaching you here on perseverance. That's what he's teaching here. So he's not saying that, I can be a pastor, I can be a medical doctor, I can be a... See, there are some... Look, let me tell you. I don't know if you remember when we were in school. There are some people in class. Even they don't come to lecture, you can't compare yourself with them. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You can't do all things in that manner. All here in context is very specific. Can I have a big amen to that? So I just gave you that as a brush up on the context. I'm talking about context so that you know what we mean by context. So now, when we talk about prayer, now there are people who drag the prayer of faith out of proportion and then they apply it and say, I see that is the only kind of prayer. Look, there are several kinds of prayers. And don't be ignorant of this. And why is it important you should not be ignorant? Because you will require these different kinds of prayer at different times of your life. You would. For instance, in the book of Mark 11:23, Jesus said, "For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith." 24. "Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe you receive them, and ye shall have them." Now, this is what we call prayer of faith in the charismatic circles. And see, the prayer of faith, first and first, let me say this. All prayers are prayed in faith. But there is a particular kind of prayer we call the prayer of faith. That's the kind of prayer where, listen, you are not praying to God. You are addressing a situation. You are standing in the stead of Christ, all right, to effect a desired outcome. And that is done in faith once. Somebody say once. Example is like casting out devils. All right? Forget all those people who cast out devils as if they are doing Nollywood movies. Come out! I will not come out. You hate Eba last night. How did you know? Ah, is it not your wife? That's Nollywood. Amen. When we cast out devils, we say, out! It's out. Once. Nowhere in scriptures were we told that we should pray to God to cast out devil for us. Once you discern a demonic activity in your affairs, cast him out. You don't need another believer to help you cast him out. Stand in the authority of Christ and cast him out. I love the way T.L. Osborne said it. He's a football, so just keep, you know, playing. You cast him out, somebody else cast him out. Cast him out till Jesus comes. Keep casting him out. And don't go to the extreme of saying, die, die. Devil can't die. All these, devil, die, 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 die. He can't die. He doesn't die. He's a spirit. Amen. So you have to understand this, that there is a kind of prayer like that. For example, like I'm saying, talking about casting out devils, in Mark 16:17, Jesus says, "These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils." Who is going to cast out devils? You? Come on, talk to me. You? Are you going to talk to God to cast out devils for you? There's this old Yoruba song. Like, the singer or the musician is literally begging devil that, please, don't afflict me. Go to where you come. Or you hear things like, Olaba Abeshuwi, all right, like, God, help us rebuke the devil for us. No, God is not going to do it. You rebuke the devil. All through scriptures, all the apostles, including Jesus, the responsibility, listen, the prayer of faith is the prayer of responsibility. And this time around, you're not actually necessarily praying to God. You are addressing a situation. That's the prayer of faith. But this is not all about prayer. Because there are folks, all right, in charismatics, you know, we're talking about semantics, context, and charismatic deniers. There are folks in the charismatics who try to, you know, make jest or laugh at folks in the other so-called circles. I'm sorry I'm talking this way. Jesus never created circles. We did, all right? But just so that you can understand what I'm saying, we are all one. Just so that you can understand what I'm saying, all right? There are folks who laugh at some other folks when they see them praying in a certain manner. You see somebody goes to maybe in the bush, you see him just groaning. And for 3 hours, you're thinking, is he mad? What kind of life is not hard like this now? Habba. I mean, just believe the word, confess the word, declare the word. Olodo. See, I'm sorry, the word Olodo means, you know, Olodo in Yoruba means somebody that does not know something. Yoruba say, Omodeo mefo, Omodeo mogun, onkpelefo. That means a child that does not know what herbs are, he calls it vegetables. There are several kinds of prayer. Are you listening to me? Don't play with your life, oh. There is a prayer of faith where you just, I mean, like I just told you now, casting out devils, James told us, resist the devil. There was nowhere where responsibility was placed on God. And there was nowhere where you have to address God in that issue. You address the mountain. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, specific mountain. All right? In Luke 10:19, it says, I've given you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions. In 1 Peter, Apostle Peter told us, it says, whom you resist steadfast in the faith. So he puts the responsibility on you. That's the prayer of faith. That's the prayer of faith. However, there's another kind of prayer, or there are several other kinds of prayer that you supplicate in them. I like to call it, you know, prevailing with God. Somebody say prevailing with God. Oh, you didn't say it well. Say prevailing with God. Barak Kenneth E. Hagin calls it the prayer of note of victory. That means until you get a note of victory. Now, in some circles, all right, they call it push. Pray until something happens. Now, I know some have dragged it out of proportion again. They say pray, pray, pray until you see something happen. Now, that's a little bit draggy into wanting to walk in natural senses. But there is a principle of such in scripture where you pray until you see something happen. Now, something happen not necessarily immediately in the physical, but, you know, a kind of note of victory. And I'm going to show you symbols in scriptures. These are teachings in symbolism. In the book of Genesis 32, the Bible tells us that, and Jacob was left alone. Jacob was left alone, Genesis 32, verse 24. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. Verse 25. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. Verse 27. Can we all read verse 27 together, everybody? Let's go. And he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, what? Jacob. 28. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince, thou hast power with God. Somebody say power with God. Say power with God. I'll do a teaching one day on power with God. Power with God and with men, and has prevailed. Someone say prevail. You can title it prevailing prayer. It's a teaching on perseverance in the place of prayer. It means don't grow cold feet too quickly. Don't retreat quickly. It's a kind of prayer where you pray until you receive a note of victory. And you see, in Ephesians 6, you're going to say the same thing. So these are teachings in symbolisms, all right? Look at Ephesians 6, verse 18. Apostle Paul says the same thing. He says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance. Somebody say perseverance. Say perseverance. So what does it mean to persevere? It means to maintain purpose in spite of difficulty or discouragement. So that means you're not giving in. So he's teaching you perseverance in the place of prayer. See, you know, even as a pastor in leadership, all right, because we learned this from Jesus, all right, there is something about perseverance. God can tell you, son, start praying 9 p.m. every day for the next 1 month. Listen, God is telling you to pray. Have you ever been told by God to be praying at a time before? Now, have you ever asked yourself, why is God asking me to pray? If he wants me to pray about a thing, can't he see it through and effect it? Have you ever thought that way? Why? Because you see, there is more that prayer is doing in you than for you. There is more. It's the same thing with leadership. We can say, do this every day and do it every day. There's a reason. We are training you. There's something we are training. There's something we observe. There is something that we are trying to imbue into you. There's a reason. Once upon a time in my life, all right, I know they sit down one place. Go to friends. Up and down. Until God told me, so time, start praying. Do you know what? Even when I'm done praying, I'm tired of praying, I'll just sit down there. She be God, say, make her sit down, I'll sit down. And guess what? A few weeks later, I began to notice that I started to learn how to sit down in a place. There was a time I studied God's word for 12 hours stretch. 12 hours. I was lost in time. So much more than the praying, there's something God wants to train me in there. The ability to sit down one place, to carry my buttocks and sit down one place. Do you understand what I'm saying? So you might be going through things and you are praying, and listen, what God is training you on is perseverance. Some people lack some Christian character. Look, let me tell you. Prayer remains one of the most powerful ways that God teaches you a lot of things. See, prayer is much more than what you think, I'm telling you. What prayer does in you is more than what it does for you. Listen, prayer changes us before it changes situation. Oh, you didn't hear that. I'll advise you to go and listen to the tape, Sobriety. It's on our Telegram. Powerful stuff. He says, perseverance, all perseverance, with all perseverance, with all perseverance. I think we'll look at this by God's grace, if God will permit, in our, 3 days of glory. All right. Prevailing prayer. See, if you are going to, if you are still believing God for bread and tea, it's okay. Just stay where you are. But you see, if you are going to make a mark in your Christian walk, you are going to learn this kind of prayer. Listen, not only for you, many times you need this prayer for some other persons. For the past 2 weeks, all right, I've been standing in gap for a lot of loved ones, both in Nigeria and abroad. And we are still expecting victory on some things. Listen, you need to learn this thing. Look at James 5, because some people assume that this kind of prayer, is not the prayer of faith. It's just somebody who is praying out of doubt. It's because he does not believe. I pray once. Have you heard believers say things like that? I don't pray all this long prayer now. I just declare. See, listen. Affirmation is not the only kind of prayer. There's prayer of affirmation where you affirm the things concerning you in Christ. All right? That's affirmation. I'm alive to God. And you must learn to do that often as well. I'm alive to God. I'm born again. Christ lives in me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I have authority. That's affirmation. But there's another kind of prayer where you persevere, where you don't give in. Oh, glory to God. Look at this. James 5. Look at what Apostle James tells us. You know, I remember when I was a little bit younger, and I was just working in faith then in the university. One day I stood up and I said, I'm going out today. It's about to rain. The cloud was has covered everywhere. And I said, you this rain. I stand right now, you this rain. In the name of Jesus, I confess and I decree. No rain today. Amen. And I went out in faith. Guy, I came back. I was wet to my panties. Wet. Of course, I'm not wearing panties. I'm not wearing panties. I just mean undergowns. Amen. What's that? Focus, Joe. All right. I was wet. I was amazed. I said, but my faith is not working. My faith, calm down. See, when it comes to affecting things like rain, it is not, I confess, unbelievable. Because a lot of people think that, you know, and the way the Bible gave it to us too, it can be a little bit misleading. All right? I mean, you just open to 1 Kings 17, boom. And the Bible spoke about a man called Elijah from Tishbe. The guy just stood up and says, rain, don't fall. That's all. And we didn't hear anything again. So we assume that the guy has some power. So listen, calm down. Thank God Apostle James exposed Elijah's secret to us. Look at it. Look at it. James chapter number 5. Hi, somebody say perseverance. James 5. Are you there? In verse 16. Come on, media. James 5 and verse 16. Look at it. It says, confess your fault one to another and pray for one another that he may be healed. Now, it says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man. Somebody say, a righteous man. Righteous. Are you righteous? Now, he's teaching on prayer now. This is the brother of Jesus. Who. He says, the effectual fervent prayer, and I'm glad this is coming from a pastor. This is the pastor of the biggest church in Jerusalem. He says, the effectual fervent, oh, I wish I had time to talk about this, the Greek construction here. Give it to me in the Amplified. Do you have Amplified? Is there Amplified? There's Amplified. Please give it to me in Amplified. He says, confess your sermon, blah, 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 blah. Let's go. The earnest, aya! Can we read the B part of it, everybody? The B part, from that 3-2 go. The earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of the righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. This is exactly what the Greek construction was trying to communicate. He says, the earnest, heartfelt. Now, these are the quality of this prayer. It is heartfelt. Listen, some people are praying and their heart is not feeling, they are not feeling it. Hallelujah. You're just playing. That's not prayer. I believe, I receive. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Yes, 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 yes. That's affirmation. See, that's another kind of prayer. Here we're talking about persevering in prayer. We're talking about supplication. That means there's a definite request. To supplicate means to request for something definite. And then you are going to stay on it until you see result. And that result many times can be a note of victory. You see, you can be praying over a thing. You know, a loved one, a beloved one of us, some years ago, all right, I was still in that place that time before I, you know, relocated. And I got a call that he broke his leg. As in the patella and the fibula. I don't know. I think that's the name they call it. The two bones here. You know this, your leg here. From here to here. There are two bones here. The two bones broke. And then they spoke with surgeons. And they said maybe they have to fly him out. Or they have that if they do the surgery, that his leg will be slimmer. Will get thin. So it was after Bible study that day I got a call from that loved one. A very dear one to my heart, for that matter. Everybody is dear to my heart. Amen. All right, so when I got back home, that's the one I first went to shower. This is a war now. When I'm done showering, I shut my door, put on my undergarments, just singlet and boxers, took my Bible. I began to profess some scripture to a point, and I began to pray. I prayed and prayed. You know the kind of prayer where you pray, your jaw is paining you, you sleep, you wake up, you continue. You are, while you sleep, you are dreaming that you were praying. You wake up again, you continue praying. You are tired, you continue again. You adjourn it again to the next day. Until you begin to pray, until you just know. Sometimes to be annoying. Sometimes you just be like, you just notice that you are laughing from the spirit. You don't know. You don't know where that laughter came from. You just, you're just laughing. But you were praying and crying and sobbing and groaning. See, there's a prayer in Romans 8. Many times we quote it for speaking in tongues, but it is not for speaking in tongues. In fact, it was talking in the context of rapture. And then he brings an issue there about prayer. Oh, I wish I had time to talk about this. There's a kind of prayer like that. Let's go there. Let me just show you. We'll come back to James now. Go back. Let me just show you what I'm saying. Romans 8. Romans 8 and verse 26. Come on, come on, come on. Time is fast spent. I want to show you this. So, to the Holy Spirit comes to our aid and bears us up in our weakness. Now, the Holy Spirit bears us up in our weakness. King James says infirmity. What is the weakness here? Not sickness. He's saying, now look at semicolon. The weakness is our inability to know what to pray. He says, for we know not what to pray for as we ought to. Amplifier says, for we do not know what prayer to offer, nor how to offer it worthily as we ought. He now says, but the Spirit himself goes to meet our supplication and pleads on our behalf with unspeakable yearnings. Someone say unspeakable yearnings. Say it louder. King James says, with groanings. Groanings. Look at it. It says, with groanings which cannot be uttered. That means it is not words. No syllables were formed. This is not speaking in tongues here. He's talking of something else here. He's talking about rapture, how the Spirit, you know, is going to immortalize our mortal body. And then in the same breath, he speaks about prayer, how the Spirit also helps us in our inability to know what to pray. And then here he talks about groaning. You know, when I was in the university, I met one young guy. You know, he came to meet me, you know, I think he just caught the bug of the grace message then. By the way, for your information, I have a manuscript of book on grace I have written that I have not published since as old as 2011. So when I see people gallivanting with grace, I say, grace, I've read all the Spurgeon, all the C.S. Lewis. See, these are the real grace guys. I say, calm down. So this guy came to me and says, Brother Elijah, God has finished everything on the cross. I say, yes, glory to God. Even prayer, I don't need to pray again. He says, I've studied some men of God. They don't pray. They just confess. They just declare. I say, Akika. Well done. Odogu. Do you know the funniest thing? He now even referenced a preacher that I know so well. Of course, I haven't seen him or met him physically, but I know people who know him very well, who tell me things about him. Maybe I should even mention his name. Pastor Chris. He said, that guy, can't you see him? He's not like all these preachers that will be praying and fighting. Can't you see the way he looks neat? The guy, I say, Oga, don't let that fine face, don't let it deceive you. I have a pastor friend who told me that, a friend who knows a pastor friend, said they went to visit him to give him seed because they are pastoring the church in another state. So they went to visit him that time when he was still in Nigeria. Of course, he's in the U.S. now. So to go and give him seed, all right, to, you know, man of God. So they were opportune for the first time to see him on his shorts. And if you've, I mean, from television, if you see him, you know he's a very fair man, right? But the knees and the elbows, they are black. Like they are literally dark. Say, that is his prayer posture. Do you know what it means to be on your knees until you, a fair complexion person, of a sudden, those parts of your body are dark? When he was done talking, I gave him one tape of that same man of God on prayer, where he was saying, you're going to pray until you shed scale. You've listened to that tape before. You know, he says he was even using derogatory examples like snake change scale, animal change scale. You know, I say, he say, hey, is this the same as a Christian? I say, I told you, forget all these things you see, all these confess. These guys, they pray heaven down. There is one man called, John Knox? I think that's his name. He says, God, give me Scotland or I die. Queen Mary said he's afraid of nothing on earth except the prayer of John Knox. This is a man that they went to his house and they saw the glasses in his house were stained. stained with the breath of his mouth. So there's such thing as prevailing prayer, heartfelt prayer, no distraction. Are you hearing me? So when the news came to me that time, I prayed until I had this voice of victory. Go and ask any surgical doctor, or any surgeon rather, or any medical personnel, is it possible to break two legs and get back on your feet in 6 weeks? Go and ask anybody if it is possible. In 6 weeks, this beloved stood up from this accident. And right now, if you look at him now, it doesn't look like he ever broke his leg. He didn't remove the shape, nothing. Someone say prevailing prayer. When there's a definite request, you are going to pray, or you are not going to stop. Just like the example I read to you of Jacob. It says, I will not let you go unless you bless me. These are teachings in symbolism. The message there is just perseverance. Perseverance. This is one of the things that is, becoming so, obsolete in our day. You have to realize there are several kinds of prayer. So let's go back to our James now, James 5. Because some people say, well, when you pray that way, you're not praying in faith. No. Apostle James here was teaching on faith. In fact, go to verse 14 so that you know the context. Go to verse 14. James 5, verse 14. Come on, media. Are you there? James 5, verse 14. You see, media people are the ones taking my time now. Okay. Is anyone among you sick? He should call in the church elders, the spiritual guides, and they should pray over him, anointing him with oil and the Lord's name. Mm-hmm. Verse 15. He now says, and the prayer that is of faith. Can you see the context here? He's talking about prayer. Come on, am I correct? He's teaching on faith here. So this kind of prayer is not what many people assume it is, that it's just a prayer of sensual knowledge. It's praying in senses. It means you're not praying in faith. If you are praying until you see something happen, okay, you better bend down and pray. And he's preaching on prayer and faith. And look at the examples he says. Go, let's go to verse 16. Come on now. He says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The originals, like we read in Amplified, says, make a power available, dynamic in its working. That means energy, you make a supply of the spirit through prayer. Then in verse 17, he says something. Look at verse 17. He says, Elias, can you see? Elias is the Greek version of Elijah. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. He is teaching on faith, because don't forget, if you read the epistle and somebody in the old covenant is referenced, the writer assumes that you know the story. So now if you want to understand who Elias is, who he is talking about in the context of prayer, go back to 1 Kings and go and see how he prayed. This was a guy that the Bible says his head were always in between his laps. Someone that was praying that there should be rain, and then he tells his servants to go and be checking the cloud. Now, some people will say, well, that's praying in the Old Testament. That's praying with senses. Why must he see cloud before you know his prayers be answered? No, you miss the point. By the way, let me even first prove you wrong. I studied some courses in geography, and I can tell you, I did some meteorological courses in university. What makes rainfall is more than a handful of a cloud like a hand. That was what they saw. They saw cloud like hand. Is that all it is required? When rain wants to fall, is that all you need to show that there will be rain? When there will be rain, everywhere will be dark. But this guy, all he needed, listen, these are teachings in symbolism. Listen, it's just a sign, a note of victory. Are you listening to me? See, today's teaching is prophetic, so pay attention. Elijah was praying. He tells his servant to go and search. The servant said, I see nothing in the cloud. He kept on praying. The second time, did you see nothing? He didn't see nothing. He kept on praying. kept on praying until the seventh time when the guy said, I saw something like hand. A cloud like hand. Look at hand now. See how small a hand is. Can a cloud that is in this magnitude, is it enough for you to forecast rainfall? Talk to me. Is it enough? It's not enough. But there's a teaching there. It's just to tell you about persistency. This guy will not stop praying. So he says Elias was a man subject to like passions. What does it mean, Elias was subject to like passions? In other words, Elias uses the loo like you do. Elias eats like you do. He has one head, two nostrils, one mouth, just like you. That's what he's saying. That he's a man of like passion. That means he's human like you. You know, some people, they give excuse for not involving in spiritual exercises. But he's saying, look, Elias is someone like you. He's someone like you. He's not any different. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. Can you see that he prayed earnestly? So it is Apostle James who made us know that this guy was the one that actually prayed. Not that he just came out and said. So you see, in fact, even this confirmation and affirmation thing, this confession thing, that's why some people are, they have become, you know, petulant and they get sad about the confession message. They feel like this confession thing doesn't work. It's because the confession they are making is from their mouth. It's from their head to their mouth. There is no connection. Faith declaration works on the lips of a prayed up man. Are you listening to me? Look at it. And he prayed again. You see, verse 18 says, he prayed again. Because you see, when rain began to fall. Alright? So that means when there was no rain, he was the one that prayed that there should not be rain. So at the time he came out to declare no rain, he had prevailed already in the spirit. Listen, when you prevail in the spirit, nothing in the natural can stop you. See, this is a school of prayer. Amen forevermore. Prayer. I need to skip a lot of things because of time. Learn to prevail. Some people, they have bought the process too early. Learn to prevail. I've told you, somebody said, so Pastor, how do I know I have prevailed? You see, when Hosea was going to give a commentary on Jacob's issue. Look at what it says in Hosea. Let me look at it for you. Hosea 12, I don't know, whichever way you want to pronounce it. Hosea 12 and verse 3. How many people know that there is Hosea in the Bible? If you know, let me know. Be sincere, be sincere. Don't lie. Okay. All right. That means I have good people in this church. Some people don't know this is in the Bible. Hosea. Hosea 12 and verse 3. The Bible says, he took his brother by the heel in the womb, and by his strength he had power. Somebody say, by strength he had power with God. Power with God. Somebody say, power with God. There's a teaching on this. One of these, I'll do a teaching on this. Power with God. Verse 4 now says, yeah, he had power over the angel and prevailed. He wept and made supplication unto him. He found him in Bethel, and there he spake with us. So that means, now Hosea was going to give commentary about what happened in Genesis, and he spoke about fervency. He spoke about prevailing in prayer. He spoke about having power with God. So sometimes you need an urgent intervention. Alright, that's not when to confess. That's when to pray through. Have you heard elderly folks in Christendom, in the faith, our mamas and papas, they will say, have you prayed through? Have you heard people say things like that? I know you don't normally hear it anymore nowadays. But when we were younger, we hear elderly folks say things like, have you prayed through? It's not just praying, pray through. What they mean is, you will know you've prayed through when you pray through. See, sometimes people say, I'm looking for breakthrough. Breakthrough is in praying through. When you pray through, That means you're praying until you know that you know that you know that you know that you know. That you know that you know that you know that you know. Oh, hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So these are two different issues. So don't join them. We're talking about context here. You have to understand the context. So that's where we are saying. We're talking about context. You have to understand the context of when Bible speaks about, you know, declaring something and believing it is done. It says, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and will not doubt in his heart, he shall have whatsoever he said. And can I even shock you? Even the so-called confession or affirmation prayer, if you check it, notice it did not say, he shall have whatsoever he said. Let's go there. Go there. Mark 11. Let me show you. Mark 11. Mark 11. I'm already eating, almost eating into second service so that we can close. Mark 11. Let me just show it to you. Are you there? Mark 11, 23. He says, for verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith. Now, saith is the old English for says. Do you have New King James? New King James. Is it there? Okay. And shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Not whatever he said. That means whatever he keeps saying. When you pluralize a verb in a sentence, it means continuous tense, right? He shall look at it. Can we all read New King James together? Everybody, 3, 2, go. For surely I say unto you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believe those things which he says will be done, he will have whatsoever he says. Did you see that? What does that teach you? Continuity, consistency, persistency, insistency. That's what it's teaching you. I have to go. Time is fast spent already. Praise God forevermore. So you have to understand context. It's one of the ways it shows that you are growing spiritually. Ability to read the Bible and understand in context. Not bringing your own preconceived notion or what you have assumed it is. Letting the context of the scripture give you definition of words. Understanding prayer in their context. There are several kinds of prayer. I wish I had enough time, but we're going to look at that probably next month. All right. Bible spoke about all manners of prayer. Ephesians 6 says, praying all manners of prayer. There are different kinds of prayer. There's prayer of agreement, and they all have different rules. There's prayer of faith. There's supplication. There's a way, and there are ways to pray for different people. There's a way to pray for unbeliever. Are you listening to me? Look up. There is binding and losing prayer. Did you hear what I said? Binding and losing. I like to call it prayer of authority. Some call it warfare prayer. Where you bind and lose. Someone's like, hey, calm down. It simply means when you allow and disallow. There are different kinds of prayers, so don't mix orange and apples together. Let the context help you separate them. Amen forevermore. I said amen forevermore. There are some people, all right, they have chosen to allow Satan to use their emotions and their willpower against you. I'll talk about that in second service. They call them, people say it laughingly, they call them village people. They are real. Did you hear what I said? Did you hear what I said? You remember what happened in the book of Acts 12? The Bible says Peter rejoiced that God has delivered him from the expectation of the Jews. That means they had an evil expectation. At that time, that's not when to confess. What that do that? Or your body will shake out, will shake that beast into fire. You pray. I'm not even know when you are praying, you know you are praying. I'm not even know. I'm not even know when you are praying. You are not when you are playing. When you are praying, you know you are praying. Apart from all these social prayers. Rise up, let us pray. You're just joking. You know you are not praying. You know. There are two people you can't deceive in life. You can't deceive God and you can't deceive yourself. You know. But when you are praying, you know you are praying. You too, you will know. See, when you pray, you will know you are praying. It is called heartfelt prayer. And you will need this. What I'm teaching you, you will need it. Either for somebody you love, as long as you are in this world, you will need this kind of prayer. Learn it now. Amen forevermore. I don't know if you watch War Room when it came out. Alright? You are a lady. Alright? Or you are a guy. You think things just happen in marriage, things just happen in life just like that. It's prayer. You saw that when that woman was praying and the husband was, you know, the husband is a pharmacist, was going to, you know, dispense drugs to a particular farmer in another country. Right? You saw how that woman was about to seduce him. Right? The woman was there praying. Thank God she came out of her senses. And you know that scene where she said, "You've played with my mind for so long. I no longer need you in my family. Get your NC." You have to stand up and pray. Oh, Badura. Adura. And let me say this. All these men that used to say, "I want to marry a prayerful wife." Bele, sonu. You better be a prayerful husband too. I saw one meme like that. I like calling it meme. I saw a meme like that. I think it was a tweet. Somebody said, "I hate to say this, you know, but our children will miss praying mothers." The other guy replied him, shut your trap. Oga, women don't only have God's direct number. You better open your mouth wide and be a prayerful father too. I don't know where people get. Do you know in my own family, my dad literally prayed more than my mom. My own dad prayed. If I'm going to scale them on the length of hours they pray, my dad prays more than. Many times I wake up 2 a.m. I want to stretch and I'll slap somebody unknown to me. I'll wake up, all my body spits. Jesus, Oluwa, Jesus, Omo Yi, Wasin Jesus, Jesus, Oluwa. Just shaking his head like that all night. All my body, I just woke up. Sometimes I'm tired. I'm like, should I have this life hard? Wait, see. Guess what? When I now took on the spirit too, it was the one that was not even getting irritated on me too. One day I prayed all night, groaning. Me and my mom, they came to the room, they sat down, they said, "Tell us, did we offend you? Or is it food? Or what is it? Tell us." I said nothing. I was just praying. You see, and you were groaning all night. He didn't know that it was when he was doing his own. He did not know. It is when I now caught the fire, I was now complaining. Amen. Learn to pray. Were you blessed? Rise on your feet. So I'm going to give you just 2 minutes to demonstrate what you have just learned now. 2 minutes. Now, somebody is wondering, how am I going to do it in 2 minutes? You need focus.
We know that you've been blessed. For further inquiry, counseling, prayer, and partnership, please call +234 8074 07 8566. We celebrate you.